Well, once again, good morning, and I do want to welcome everybody joining us next door in the Zephyr Room and those who will join us online. So glad that you are going to spend the next few minutes with us. I do want to highlight one announcement that you just saw, and that is LifeTrack. It's happening next Sunday after the 11 o'clock service, and we've taken a break over the summer, and during that break, we've made a few changes. We've kind of condensed the material, made it a lot more interactive. And more importantly, we changed the time. It's no longer at like 8:15 in the morning, right? And so it's if you want to get to know some new people, get to know the staff here, hear more about the church and some of the ministry opportunities here, then I want to encourage you to come to LifeTrack next week. Lunch will be provided along with childcare, and we'd love to have you there. This morning, I want to talk about walking by faith. And I can tell you this, walking by faith and having faith are two different things. You know, I was fortunate enough to grow up in a Christian home. My parents were very godly people, and I, for most of my life, I was in the church. And I would say that, man, I have faith. I mean, I believe God was creator, God's almighty, that he sent his son Jesus to die for us and die, pay for our sin. He rose again, and he offers us a free gift of salvation. I mean, I was a believer. I had faith. Fully believed it. But in 2000, God called my wife and I to leave a very successful business and to step into ministry full time and to go plant a church where, man, no longer could we really provide what we needed. We were going to be dependent on the generosity of others. And I can tell you, I was slapped in the face with the reality of what it meant to walk by faith. You see, I'd had faith my whole life, but all of a sudden God was calling me to walk by faith. And this morning I want to take a look at a very famous story in the Bible about this man who walked by faith. And if you've been around church most of your life, I don't want you to check out. I want to challenge you to hang in there with us, because I promise God has something that he wants to say to each and every person here in this room. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to Genesis 22. That sounded like a good four-day weekend yell right there. Genesis chapter 22. And let's look at verse 1. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. I want to stop right there just for a second and give you a little bit of background information. You see, God had approached Abraham and made a promise that through Abraham's descendants, God would establish his holy nation, his people, the nation of Israel. The only problem was that Abraham and his wife Sarah, they were old. Like so old, you can drop the L and just say old. They were old. And they didn't have any kids. And so how would God establish this nation through Abraham's descendants when he didn't have any kids? It seemed impossible. But miraculously, Sarah becomes pregnant in her old age and gives birth to their son Isaac. And I can tell you this, church, listen, if you've prayed for something for that long, longed for something that long, wept probably, cried over it, begged God, and you finally, man, you have this son, I can promise you this, Isaac was cherished. Right? I mean, he was precious to them. They probably gave a whole new definition to helicopter parent, I imagine. You know what I mean, helicopter parent? They're the people that like bubble wrap their kids before they send them out. When you're like me and you have four, you just get over that. Our youngest goes toppling down the stairs. We're like, ah, he'll be all right. But look in verse 2. Look what God asks. He says, go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. Now, this whole idea of sacrificing Isaac, we're going to get into that later. But right now, I kind of want to focus on that phrase, which I will show you. You see, God came to Abraham and said, hey, I want you to go to this place, and you don't know where it is. But I want you to go, and then I'll show you. And I don't know about you, but that makes me uncomfortable. Because I like details. Anyone else like that? Like, I like specifics. I want the information. I want to know what's going on, right? I don't like being in the dark, especially when I'm going somewhere. You know, my dad's a lot like that. My family, when we would take a trip or a vacation, I mean, my dad had charts, graphs. He had maps printed with alternate routes. He had done calculations on, mileage and gas consumption and how long this was going to take. And he had plotted out, here's where we're going to stop. I mean, there was more planning involved in a car family vacation than there was for the mission to take out Osama bin Laden. I mean, my dad was a planner. And so I get a lot of that from him, but I'm the same way. Like, I want to know what's going on. I'm from the South. I'm a country boy, but I don't like country directions. You know what I'm talking about when I say country directions? My father-in-law is the king of country directions. And if you're watching, love you. They live out in this like farming community. And one time, never will forget, we were going to go over to another relative's house to eat lunch or something. And I'm not kidding you. This is how this conversation went. He was trying to tell me how to get there. And he said, well, you want to go down a ways and veer left at the Martin house. Then you're going to cross a bridge. You're going to see a big oak tree. You turn right. And then it's down on the left. Okay. So I head out. You think there's going to be this obvious Martin house, right? No, there's houses like every couple of hundred yards. Now I'm trying to remember, who are the Martins? What does their house look like? I figured that out. I went over across this bridge, and you're thinking, oh, there's going to be like this empty field with this giant oak tree. No, there's trees everywhere. Now I'm like I'm getting all freaked out. Like, is that a maple? What is that? Where's the oak? I'm trying to remember biology class in middle school, right? I don't like country directions. I want to know what's going on because I like details. I can tell you this, as much as I like details, I don't hold a candle next to all the lovely ladies here today. You guys love details. A regular occurrence that happens in my house is like I will hang up the phone with somebody. And my wife's like, well, who's that? I was like, oh, it's Joe. Well, what'd y'all talk about? Oh, we just caught up. No, that answer does not suffice. My wife wants the full rundown of the conversation. Or like, how was your day? Oh, it was good, I had lunch with so-and-so. Yeah, what'd y'all do? Well, we just caught up. No, my wife is not interested in the cliff notes. My wife wants the full novel. Any other ladies in here? All the husbands are like, yeah, I know exactly which. I feel your pain. Because women like details. Which got me thinking, I can't imagine the conversation between Abraham and Sarah. Right? Hey, honey, you know our miracle baby? That we didn't have till we were really old? Our one and only son, you know him? I'm supposed to take him somewhere. Where? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. Why? I think I'm supposed to sacrifice. What? Why would you do that? I don't know. Like, that's a hard sell. But all Abraham knew was that God said to go. I think if we were honest today, at least for me, I probably never would have started that journey. I would have never taken that first step. Because I want details. I want all the information up front, right? A lot of us, we want the end of the story before it ever begins. But our God, he's not obligated to provide us details. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. You see, when I have all the information, when I have all the details, when I know everything, that doesn't require any faith. And God's not interested in stretching my awareness of things. He's interested in stretching my ability to fully trust Him. You see, walking by faith, it requires complete dependency on God. And I think some of us, man, we sit around just spiritually stagnant because we're waiting for God to provide us details. And God's saying, I'm just waiting for you to get up and walk, to get up and go. And as we do that, as we take those steps of faith and walk in obedience, God reveals those things to us. But we have to first go. I can tell you this. Walking by faith, it requires complete dependency on God, but I can tell you that doesn't happen overnight. I don't just wake up one day and, oh, I completely trust you, God. That's something we have to develop. That's something that we have to work on. Listen, I have to be able to trust God in the little things if I'm ever going to trust Him in anything big or significant. I have to learn to say yes to Him when He says, ask me to do something small. Otherwise, He's never going to approach me to do something significant. Man, we have to learn to say yes to God where we're at right now today. Man, I think of David. Listen, he didn't develop this dependency on God when there was a Goliath standing in front of him, right? He developed that out in the fields. He learned to trust God when he was watching sheep. He learned to trust God when he was defending the sheep from predators. That's when he learned to trust God. That's how he learned to be completely dependent on God, where it gave him the confidence to then face Goliath. Man, for some of us, listen, we just need to start being dependent on God in the little things today. Man, if my wife and I, if we never gotten to the place where we were just fully trusting Him, putting Him first in our finances, putting Him first in our time, there's no way He would have come to us and said, hey, I want you to leave a business and go into full-time ministry. That would have never happened. Well, listen, walking by faith, it requires dependency on God. I think a lot of us, we struggle trusting because when we don't know all the details, because, man, we're so focused on the destination. We're so focused on, man, what's at the end? What's at the finish line? Like there's going to be some big revelation. Sometimes, listen, that's not the point. Sometimes, man, God wants to use the journey to shape and to mold us. Man, and as we walk by faith, He will do that. He will use the journey to shape and mold us. Sometimes, church, listen, the destination isn't the point. Where we're going isn't the point. What we're going to do is not the point. The point is what He's going to show us and teach us along the way. What we learn getting there. Look at back at the story in Genesis 22. Look at verse 3. So it says, the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey, and he took two servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out to the place that God had told him about. And on the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Man. Abraham traveled for 3 days not knowing where he was going. That like gives me the willies. I'm just like, oh. And if you ever traveled with kids, you kind of empathize with them, don't you? 3 days of, are we there yet? Are we there yet? How much longer? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Dad, I got to pee. Like 3 days of this. But it says that when Abraham saw the place, he knew it. Listen, sometimes God, He calls us to do something. He leads us to do something. And you can't explain it. You can't prove it. It doesn't make sense to anyone around you. But in the depths of your heart, you just know it. And I can tell you, A lot of times when God is asking you to step out in faith, to walk in faith, to step in obedience, a lot of times, listen, there's no shortage of naysayers. I can tell you in my own life, man, when I sat there and said, I'm going to leave business and go into ministry full time, man, I was surrounded by people who thought I was completely insane. I'd lost my mind. And sometimes those people are the closest ones to you. But Abraham, when he saw this place, man, he knew it. You see, walking by faith, man, it requires listening to God. But here's the thing, God doesn't speak to our natural ear. God speaks to the ear of our heart, the ear of our soul. The book of Hebrews refers to it as the inner ear. But we have to tune that inner ear to hear that still small voice. We have to learn to be sensitive to the gentle prodding of the Holy Spirit. Because, church, if we don't, how can we follow a God that we can't hear? How can we obey a God that we're not listening to? Man, I think for some of us, I know for me, I just have sometimes too much noise in my life. Man, I think for some of us, God wants us to cut out the noise in our life so that he can speak to us. Walking by faith, it requires listening to God. Look back at the story, verse 5. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there and then we will come back. See, this was not just Abraham and Isaac taking a little stroll out behind the house. Abraham was a very wealthy man, had a bunch of land, cattle, servants. So listen, when they took out on this journey, this was like a big to-do. Imagine there was a big caravan of donkeys just loaded with supplies and tents and everything else. But listen, when Abraham saw the place that God was telling him to go to, he told that whole caravan, he just said, hey, you guys stay here. Because where I'm going, you can't go with me. See, walking by faith requires separation. And here's what I know to be true. Is that the closer you get to God's will, the smaller the crowd will get. And for a lot of us, listen, there's people in our lives that we may hold dear that we have to just leave behind because they're not going to make the journey with you. God may be calling you to do something or to somewhere that, listen, your friends, your loved ones, they may not be able to go there with you. And sometimes walking by faith requires separation. It requires me to leave some people and things that I hold dear behind and say, see ya. And I can't get distracted looking to my left, looking to my right, looking behind me to see who all's with me. See, God tells you to go there. Sometimes look, my friends can't go with me. Some of you here today, you just need to tell some people, hey, I got to leave you behind. If you have your Bibles, flip over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and look at verse 57. It says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, being Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you. Lord, first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. That's harsh. But listen, walking by faith sometimes requires separation. Sometimes it requires leaving some people behind. Man, I believe that codependency can be one of the biggest barriers or obstacles people, they can't get over to fully realize God's plan for their life. Man, we got to stop worrying about being alone. We got to stop worrying about who's with us and just walk in obedience. Heard a quote one time that said, the closer we get to our destiny, the more we must release our history. Man, walking by faith requires separation. Let's keep reading verse 6. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, we have the fire and the wood, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? Isaac's like looking around going, Dad, you forget something? Verse 8, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. And they walked on together. And God will provide. See, Abraham's faith was so strong. Abraham's faith had reached a point, and he was so completely dependent on God that he wasn't worried about provision. God will provide. I believe that's what God wants from us. He wants us to get to the place where, man, we no longer worry about the provision. Man, for some of us, especially me, I get so fixated on provision, just obsessed with provision, details about the provision, the how, the when. For a lot of us, we try to create provision by our own hands, right? Listen, I heard an old preacher say this one time, if it's God's will, then it's God's bill. Listen, the weight of responsibility to provide, it doesn't rest on me. If I'm walking in obedience, it rests on Him. And He'll go before us. He'll provide for us. And I can promise you this, He is more capable than we are. He is more able than we are. And He knows best. And He'll provide exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. And I believe, listen, He's looking for opportunities in our lives to say, it was me who did that. He's looking for opportunities, man, in our lives where He can receive glory. And if we walk by faith, we open the door for Him to do the impossible and to get the glory. God wants to, in your own life, to be able to say, man, that was me. That was me who did that. That was me who provided. That was me who blessed. That was me who fed you, sustained you, strengthened you. It was me. That's what God wants. But we have to trust Him. Abraham says to Isaac, man, God will provide. And I'm sure this made no sense, looked impossible. But Abraham knew God would provide. Look at verse 9. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, he replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Wow. I can't imagine what Abraham was going through. I can't imagine that, man, I'm sure his heart was just being ripped out of his chest as he laid Isaac on that altar and he took that knife and he was about to plunge it into his only son, the son he had wanted and prayed for years and years and years. But he was trusting God. I'm going to do what you said. I don't understand this. And as he was about to plunge that knife in his son, God said, stop. I didn't want your son. I wanted your heart. I didn't want your son. I wanted your complete devotion to me. I wanted you to trust me. And I didn't want to take from you the most precious thing in your life. I want to bless you in more ways than you can imagine. And Abraham passed that test. For me, sometimes I get so fixated on what God's asking me to give up that, man, I miss out on the ways he wants to bless me. For some of you today, you're going through a tough season. I'm telling you, man, sometimes what you're going through isn't really about what you're going through. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes there's a greater purpose at work. Sometimes there's something else behind the scene. A lot of times God's testing you to see, does he have your heart? Does he have your devotion? Man, is your yes on the table? Look at verse 13. I love this part of the story. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. And to this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. That part of the story gets overlooked, but I think that is amazing. Because if you think about it, hours before, days before, maybe even weeks before, God started steering and guiding that ram. And as Abraham left to go on that journey, as Abraham and Isaac left that crowd behind, began to walk up that mountain, man, that ram was making its way up the mountain at the same time. Is that not amazing? Listen, he knows exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. But listen, as we walk by faith, and this is a principle I've learned the hard way, submission must precede provision. Submission must come before provision. But we like it the other way around, don't we? I do. God, show me the provision, and then I'll determine whether my yes is on the table. Right? I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the years, and they're like, God will give me $1 million, man. I'll be generous. If God will let me retire at 40, I'll start serving him. Right, we want the blessing first before we have to give something up, don't we? But God doesn't work that way. And with God, listen, submission must precede provision. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is in Joshua chapter 3. And the children of Israel on their way to the promised land. And God had told them, this land is yours, go and take it. And they get to the Jordan River. And it says the Jordan River was at flood stages. Think of like the Truckee in the springtime, only bigger. And they had to cross that river. And it says the priests went first. And what's crazy to me is as they got to the waters, they had to step into the river. And then God stopped the waters and they were able to cross on dry land. What's always weird to me when I read that story is like, why didn't God stop the water before that? Like, why didn't God stop the river when they were there at the bank? Why did he wait until the priest stepped into that raging water? It's because submission must precede provision. You see, God was wanting to see, man, did the children of Israel, do they trust him? Were they devoted to him? Were they completely dependent on him? And as those priests stepped into that river, he stopped and provided. Listen, first, I don't know what God has in store for you. And I don't know if he will ever ask anything big and crazy from you. He's God, I'm not. I don't know. But here's what I do know. I know that he wants every single person in this room to be at a place where we fully trust him and where we're fully, completely dependent on him and our yes is on the table. That's what he wants from us. And I don't know what he's going to ask. For some of you in this room, you've never trusted him enough to take that first step of just giving him your life, giving him your heart. I can tell you this, man, he is good and he is sovereign and he's worthy to be trusted if you've never done that. And for some of you, you may just need to start trusting him. Start being obedient. Start saying yes in the little things where you're at today, right now. And then for others of you, maybe God's been prodding you. You felt that little tug on the heart. You felt that holy stirring that God's asking you to do something significant. And you've struggled to say yes. And maybe it's because you're wanting all the details up front. Maybe it's because you're not willing to leave some people behind. Maybe you're just too focused on provision and the how and the when. But man, God wants us to say yes. That our first reaction is, yes, God. Our first reaction is, I will go, I will step, I will be obedient. And we'll figure the how and when out later. And wherever you're at, whether it's you've never trusted God before in your life, whether you need to start in the small things, whether you need to do it in the big things, here's what I do know. Is that, man, he is all-knowing, all-powerful, unchanging, unfailing. His plans were in place before time. His plans and purposes were in place before this world was created. He had a solution before there was ever a problem. He had the answer before there was ever a question. He is God. And I can trust him. So is your yes on the table this morning? Let's bow as we pray. God, I first want to thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you are unchanging, unfailing. You are God, holy God. And God, this morning I repent of the times I just don't fully trust you, the times I question you, the times I hesitate. God, forgive me. You have proven yourself over and over and over again in my life that, God, you are worthy to be trusted. And, God, whether it's our insecurity, God, whether it's our need to control, God, I pray that we'd be able to just say yes, that our first reaction to you is yes and always yes. That, God, we'll later worry about the how, the when, the provision. God, I pray you would find us obedient. I pray that you would find us willing. Willing to trust you, willing to step, willing to follow. And God, I pray that you would use that in our lives to bring yourself glory. That God, my life would open up doors to point people to you. That I would allow you to do the impossible, to work miracles. Only you can do that. So God, we give you our lives as we sang earlier. God, we belong to you. God, the question is, do we mean it? We live for you. We sang that, but do we mean it? God, we truly give ourselves to you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.